You know, last week I talked about the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. We have an adversary and we have an advocate. And our advocate is Jesus Christ. But we also have an advocate here on the earth. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, I asked Mitch, him and Mary Ellen got the privilege of going to a conference this week, and I thought maybe Mitch would have a few things to share. And Mary Ellen, do you have anything to share maybe? It's up to you. I didn't give you any forewarning. But, you know, I do have a sermon prepared, but it doesn't, you know, I'm just trying to say, God, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Just give us the wisdom that we have need of. Speak what we need to hear. And I think God's saying to you, church, you've got to see me in your situations. You've got to see me there. I'm here. But so many times that situation is so huge right in front of our face that we can't see past it to see God. But he's there. Sometimes we need to see through it. So I'm going to invite Mitch to speak a little bit and see if he takes the whole service. He takes the whole service. If he doesn't, then you get another dose. So be blessed, and thank you.
It's kind of dangerous to give me the mic because I got a lot to say, like, all the time.
Yeah. We'll gain back on that, Kevin.
Yeah, we went to conference. He said he could give me as much feedback as I wanted today. I didn't know he was serious, Kevin. my wife and I, before we went to Uganda, we went to a school up in Harrisburg, many of you know, called Global School of Supernatural Ministry. And when we saw a lot of things in school, God do supernatural things, heal a lot of people, hearing God speak to us, and we were real excited to go over to Uganda to see God heal the sick. And we went over there, and people refused healing. I think that I can remember we had two instances of people being healed in Uganda. There was a lady who was diagnosed with diabetes. She came back. She was depressed. She was really discouraged. And I told her, I said, you don't have diabetes. When you go back to the doctor, they're going to run another test, and it's going to come back, and it's going to say you don't have diabetes. And she said, that can't be right. I have diabetes. And she went back, and she came back, and she was smiles from ear to ear, come running to our house, and she said, look at my test. I don't have diabetes. You were right. And so she was a different person after that experience, and God healed her body. We saw another little baby that had malaria real bad and was healed after praying for him. But on the most part, we didn't see a whole lot. And we were kind of at a low place in June and July. We were struggling as a family. And so we said, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to stick it out here? We committed to 2 years. Are we going to come back home? And we decided to come back home for 2 months. And one of the things we wanted to do when we came back was go to this conference, which is put on by the Global Awakening, which is who does the school. And in the midst of coming back, God had started to do a lot in our lives, speaking to us about identity, speaking to us about faith, speaking to us about who we are through the finished work of Christ. And as the conference got closer, I started being like, I don't really feel a need to go to this conference. I feel like, you know, a lot of times what we view church as, what we view conferences as, is a gas station to go and get filled up. Oh, man, my tank is running full. I feel so far away from God. Got to run to church so I can feel close to God again. Oh, man, if Sunday comes around, I'm feeling low. This week's dragging out. I got to get back to church. And I don't believe that that's how God wants us to live our lives, where we run to church, we run to conferences to feel a touch from God or feel close to God. I believe that God wants to, what John says, is abide with us. It says for us to abide with him. And so that doesn't mean that when we leave church on Sunday or we leave the conference, that God stays here on the front seat waiting for us to come back. He goes with us. The Bible says that he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And so I wasn't looking at going to this conference as a time for me to get my tank filled up, because I felt like God has been speaking to me daily. God's been doing some amazing things in my life. And just one of the testimonies that I believe that in my life is God has completely erased fear from my life. And, you know, a lot of us live in fear every day. John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 says, perfect love casts out all fear. And the one that fears has not been perfected in love. How afraid are we? We turn on the news and we just, oh my goodness. Oh, there's the devil. Oh my goodness. There he is. And it's really not a fun place to be. Living in fear is not fun. You know, we got Halloween coming up, and we just think it's so much fun to scare people and make them be afraid. And it's really not a fun place. How many of you like to live in fear? Nobody. So God's done some cool things to me. So we went to this conference, and there were some really good speakers. And one of the things that God's really teaching me is everything that we receive is by faith. Bible says that you are saved by grace through faith. The Bible says that if you ask anything of God and you believe by faith that he'll give it to you and it's his will, he'll give it to you. He says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it'll listen to you. But how many of us have a lot of mountains in our lives that we've not seen yet cast into the sea that we'd like to see cast into the sea? A lot of us. And so what God's starting to teach me is it's all by faith. Faith is believing the end from the beginning. It's the substance of things hoped for. What is substance? Substance is something tangible. It's something you can hold. And so faith being the substance of something you can't see, but you know it's going to happen. You know, we came back. We were asking God for a house. We didn't want to stay with my parents. We love them. They bless us, we bless them, but we wanted our own place. And we got to the place where we were starting to get discouraged. And I said, no, God, I believe you're going to give us a house. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. And it happened. God blessed us with a house. So one of the things I've been struggling with is James. I don't like the book of James so much. There's a lot of good stuff in James, but there's a lot of stuff in there that I have not yet figured out. But one of the things that James says is that when you ask, you'll get anything you ask for, but the reason why you don't get what you ask for is because you ask with wrong motives, or it says you ask with selfish motivation. And so James put that little thing in there, and it subverts faith in my life. Because I start asking God for something, and I don't see the answer right away, and I think, well, maybe I'm asking because I'm selfish. And God's not going to answer that question, that thing that I'm asking him for, because it's a selfish request. And so I've had this question in there, and Bill Johnson, he's a pastor out of Reading. They've seen a lot of miracles out at their church. He was there, and I think most of the times I hear Bill Johnson speak, he speaks on the same passages of Scripture. But he spoke about, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't pray like the heathen do. And how do the heathen pray? Vain repetition. They ask for the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Please, God, would you give me this? Please, God, would you heal this? Please, God, please, God, please, God. And it says, why? It says, because the Father knows what you have need of before you even ask him. And then he says, if you keep reading down in the same sermon, Jesus says, ask and keep on asking and the door will be open to you. Knock and keep on knocking, or ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open. Seek and keep on seeking is actually the translation, and you will find. So he says, Jesus looks like he's contradicting himself. He just said, don't keep asking for the same thing over and over and over again. And then he says, ask and keep on asking until you get it. And the reason is, the first time Jesus says, for your Father knows what you have need of. The second time, God is talking about answering the desires of your heart. He's not talking about your needs. He's talking about what you desire. Ask, keep asking. Knock, keep knocking. Don't keep asking him for food, because he's already promised to give you food. Has he not? Has he not? He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. The birds don't. Why should you? But how many of us, One of our biggest concerns and one of our biggest fears is, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to, man, this is, things are getting so bad. How am I going to do this? Where are we going to get the food? That's not what he wants you to keep asking for. Ask and believe that he's going to do it. So Heidi and Roland Baker have this huge ministry. They feed 20,000 people every day in Mozambique. 20,000 people they feed every day from their ministry. And they never come to the United States and ask for anybody to give them support. And she said, for the first years of while we were in on the mission field, we would cry out to God every day for food. God, we don't have anything to feed these children. You've got to bring food. You've got to bring food. And she said, for years we did that. And then we realized he's promised to feed us. And so now we don't pray for food anymore, and God still brings it in. But she said, I believe that all those years of praying for food built faith in us that God was going to give us food. And so it wasn't for nothing that they were doing all that work. When they were praying all that time for something God told them not to pray for, it was building their faith that God was going to give them what they had need of. Then Bill said this thing. He said, he kept saying, this is amazing. He said, God said, anything you ask for, I'll give it to you. Anything. He said, so what do you want? He gave the example. He was sitting out by the lake, and there were little fish in there, and he was throwing stones in. And you know, have you ever thrown stones in the lake, and the fish just kind of run, and they pick it up in their mouth, and they spit it out when they realize it's not food because they think it's a bug or something that's fallen in the water? And so he said in his mind, he said, I wonder what those fish would do if a bee fell in that water. Would they come and eat that bee? Because a bee has a stinger. A bee would just sting them inside the mouth. He said, no sooner had he thought that a bee, he said, came flying right in front of his eyes. And he said it stopped right in front of his eyes and dropped right in the water. And the fish attacked it and ate the bee. He said, now, is that an eternal thing that God answered that prayer? It was just a question he had in his mind. But God showed him, yeah, they'll eat the bee too. I mean, God is interested in the most intimate details of our lives, and we think he doesn't care. We think, I don't feel like God loves me. God, are you even there? God, where are you? I've been praying. Where are you? The Bible says that he never leaves us or forsakes us. Wonder if we believe that by faith that he's there. So Bill said this, when you ask for something, God will give it to you if you ask in faith. The only reason he won't do it is if it subverts your destiny. If that thing that you're asking for is not going to fulfill his purposes in your life, he won't give it to you. And it made James make sense. What James is saying, you're not getting what you ask for because you're asking with the wrong motives. Because what we ask for, we're asking for things that God doesn't want in our lives. It's going to subvert us from what he's trying to do in our lives. And he's not trying to micromanage our lives. He's not trying to, come on, I want you to do this, Jolene. I want you, Jolene. He doesn't do that. The Bible says that he comes to set us free. He came to set us free, not to control us. A lot of us think God's up there trying to get us to do stuff for him. What does he want us to do? You know, last week, Dad was talking out of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And, you know, when I read 1 John chapter 2, it says, obey God's commandments. Isn't that what it says in there? If you obey God's commandments, then you prove that you really love him. And every time I read that word commandments, I run back to the Old Testament and think of the Ten Commandments and the law of God. That's what I run to, and that's what I think of. If you continue reading in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 23, John says, and this is his commandments. This is his commandments. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, And two, love your neighbor as yourself. Might not say love your neighbor as yourself. It says love your neighbor, love your brother. So John is talking about obeying these commandments. And then he makes it real clear which commandments he's referring to. This is the commandments. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love your brothers. And so there were a group of people and they saw Jesus doing all these miraculous signs and wonders. He was healing the sick. And they came up to him and they said, we want to do the same work that you're doing. And Jesus said, this is the work. It's in John. I don't know the exact chapter, but it's in John. Jesus said, this is the work that the Father would have you to do. Believe on the one that he sent. Believe. This is your work. Believe. I'm realizing that the more we believe about who he is, the more we believe about who Jesus is, the more we're going to believe about who we are as his sons and daughters. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So what he did is he came down as a visible man and said, this is what God looks like. You've been asking, what does God look like? Look at me. This is what he looks like. It says that he became the Word of God made flesh. So he's the living, walking Word of God. He says, I'm here to reveal the Father. who was it came to him? It was one of the disciples. Said, show us the Father. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then different places it says that he is the firstborn son of many yet to come. So his life not only revealed what the Father looked like, but it revealed what you and I are supposed to look like. He said, greater works that I've done, you shall do greater works than these, if you believe. These signs shall follow those that believe. And we think that believing is about believing Jesus is the way to heaven. It's not about that. It's about believing that he revealed the Father and that his life revealed what my life is supposed to look like. It's believing that when Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me and I give it to you, that we've got authority. Hebrews chapter 2 says that all things have been placed under the feet of man. And it says this, and it says, and when I say all things, I mean nothing is left out. The writer of Hebrews clarified what all things placed under the feet of man means. He said, I'm not leaving anything out. All things are under the feet of man. And it's in past tense when he says it. All things have been placed under the man's feet. And then it says this, something interesting. It says, but we don't yet see all things placed under our feet. And so we've got a big problem. And we don't see it under our feet. We don't think we have authority over it. When Jesus says, I've given you authority over that thing. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. So why are we afraid of him? Authority is the right. It's the right to tell the enemy what to do. But we're afraid of him. Perfect love casts out all fear. So then in Hebrews 2 it says, but we don't yet see all things under our feet. So the problem is not with where those things are. The problem is what we're seeing. Because it says they've already been placed under our feet. It says, but we don't yet see. So the problem is with our eyes. And so the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, but we see what? Does anybody know? Jesus. Jesus. But we see Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. So what does that mean? Faith. There's that word again. Faith. Believing that the end is from the beginning. This thing started with him and it's going to end with him. He's the beginning of it and the end of it. My faith, my believing in him started with him. It began in him. And it's going to end in him. And so as he was talking about this sermon, they preach a lot up there about the transference of what they say is anointing. Anointing. So Randy Clark has a great healing ministry. They were in a meeting just recently. Marilyn, do you remember how many thousand people was in? It was over 11,000 people in that meeting, I believe. And they said 100% of the people that were in that meeting down in Brazil were healed. 100%. Nobody left the meeting that still had sickness or disease. 100%. He says, in the States, we usually see about 10% of the people that are in the room healed when he goes in to do a conference. But sometimes as high as 20% are healed. And they were talking about this. They give words of knowledge. Somebody's got a problem in their left knee. And somebody stands up and their knee's healed. And it's just amazing to see all these miracles taking place. And so as I'm thinking about this, as I'm saying, it's got to be about faith. It can't be because Jesus already finished the work. He said it's finished. And it says that if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. He says, lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. So why aren't we seeing those things happen? It's got to be because we don't believe. Plain and simple, we don't believe. It's got to come back to that. So as they're talking about this, I'm thinking, well, what they're doing is they're just raising people's faith. They're giving testimonies. Hey, this person was just healed. Oh, my goodness, God's still doing it. What is happening inside of that person right then is their faith is being built up. Their faith is rising. They're hearing testimonies about what's happening. God's calling out words of knowledge about you have this sickness, and it's pain right here, and their faith is being built up. So it's not necessarily that God is coming in a supernatural, sovereign way, and I believe he does at times come in a supernatural, sovereign way and just heal people, but because there's no faith a lot of times when we pray. So God sometimes just shows up sovereignly and heals people. But what happens most times is that people's faith rises to a level that they believe that they can be healed. Most of us, if we hear a word of knowledge, hey, somebody's got a problem in their back. I wonder if that's me. Just go ahead. I'll see if that's me or not. And we sit there with doubt and unbelief saying, God, I dare you. Fix my back. Fix my back. And we have no faith at all. And then we walk out, and what do we get? We get what we believed. He didn't fix my back. I knew he wasn't going to fix my back. Well, that's what you believed, and you got it. Your faith and your prayer was just answered. And this verse says this, that we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Is that not what it says in the Bible? We have a form of godliness, but we deny its power. I always thought deny was what did you say? I say, Dave, you've got on a red shirt. And Dave stands up and denies that he's got on a red shirt by saying this, I don't have on a red shirt, it's blue. So when it says that we have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, well, what I always thought it was saying is we get up and we say the opposite. We don't have power. But I don't believe that's what it's saying, because deny can also mean to withhold or to stop. To withhold or to stop. Doesn't it also mean that? So if we have a form of godliness, we claim we have authority over the devil. And we say, devil, I bind you and I want you to get out of here in Jesus' name. Doesn't that work? A lot of times it doesn't work. We're claiming to have a form of godliness, but we're denying the power. We're stopping the power because we don't believe we really have authority over the devil. So what is actually denying the power of God to be loosed is actually our unbelief. It's actually our lack of faith. It's not that we're standing up here preaching sermons saying, Jesus is the way to heaven. No, he's not the way to heaven. Jesus wants to heal you. He's not going to heal you. We're not doing that. We're not denying the truth. But what we're doing is we're stopping it because of our unbelief. We're stopping it because of our unbelief. We don't believe he really wants to heal people. We don't believe that he can really use me if I lay my hands on somebody. And the exciting thing about it is all we got to do is what Jesus said, which is repent, change the way you think, and enter the kingdom. It's that simple. It's not about praying harder. Because here's the thing. It can't not be about works. It cannot be about works. Everything that you read in the Bible in the New Testament cannot be about works. So as you're reading, if you love me, I will love you. It cannot be about us loving God, for God to love us back. God is not saying, he's not a second grader or a third grader in elementary school and writing those notes. Do you love me? Circle one, yes or no. That's not what God's doing. He's not saying, if you love me, I love you. He's not like that. He's loved us. He sent his son. He gave his son for us. He says, for God so loved the world, while you were still yet in your sins, God loved you so much that he gave his son. He loved you before you were even born. He loved you before you even had the chance to screw up. He loved you when you screwed up. He loved you through the screw up. He's like loving you, and he's never stopped. The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Neither height nor depth, neither angels or principalities, never things present nor things to come, can separate us from the love of God. So what separates us from God's love? Our head. I was talking with a lady the other night, and she said this. Well, I said, God loves you, and he's not holding anything against you. He is not holding anything against you. She goes, yeah, I want to believe that. My head believes it, but my heart doesn't. I said, no, that's not true. The Bible says that it's from our heart that we believe unto salvation. So this is what happens. Our hearts want to believe this stuff. All these things that I'm saying this morning, I don't care what your face looks like, and I don't care how your head is saying all doctrinally that what Mitch is saying is wrong, because your heart is screaming out, yes, that's what I want. That's what I'm crying for. What he's talking about, your heart's crying out. But your head has all these things why it can't happen. And so our head is confronting our heart. But the Bible never called us to live out of our head. Never did. He never said, think about it. He said, believe. And if it's out of the heart that we believe in the salvation, where do we believe from? It's if we believe from our heart. And our mind has got to come into cooperation with our heart. The Bible says that he gives us a renewed mind, the renewed mind of Christ. But we hear these things in our head. Well, that's not going to happen. That God's not going to answer that prayer. You know how many times I didn't ask God for anything because I believed I wasn't worthy to even ask him for something? And so I never even prayed and never even asked him for anything because I believed I didn't have the right to. Because I believed that because of my sin, he wasn't going to answer the prayer. And now I don't even see myself as having any sin because I changed the way I thought. I am perfect and holy. The Bible says that I can come before the throne of grace, perfect, blameless, without any spots, without any fault. I've got an advocate in heaven who's saying, hey, that's my son. You gave him to me. I shed my blood for him. He's mine. He's mine. He's perfect, Father. He's perfect. He's up there advocating for me. And then it says that he's given us an advocate here on earth, the Holy Spirit, who comes to convict us of righteousness, which righteousness means right standing with God. And so he's saying, hey, Jerry, you're right with God. You don't have to do that. Jerry, you're right with God. You're holy. Jerry, this is who you are. You're my son. Jerry, if you pray, I'll give it to you. Jerry, I want to do this for you. And what do we hear? Oh, he's not going to do that for me. Oh, he can't help me. And what is the problem? The problem is with what we believe. We're denying the power of God through our unbelief. I was talking with somebody there, and they were talking about John G. Lake. John G. Lake said, die if you must, but do not do the cross and the body of Christ disservice by ever going to the doctor. His faith was that strong. For months, he had the entire hospital in Washington State empty. Empty. They would come with a black plague to John G. Lake and put it on his skin and watch it die under the microscope. And we say, oh, God gave him a great gift. He's got a healing gift. No, he believed. He simply believed. And he believed so much so in what he was teaching people that he said, if you go to the doctor, you don't believe. You might as well just say you're not even a Christian if you go to the doctor. Now, I don't believe that. But that's what he believed. And he emptied out a hospital. Was it because God showed up in a great anointing on that man? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and anointed Jesus Christ with power to do good works. That's what it says. And we think God's anointed great people in the past, but the Bible says that he would do it for anybody that believes. So what is the anointing but the transference of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, which now dwells in us? Wonder if we just believed that. What would happen? And that's what's getting me so excited, because I don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come in here and like do some powerful thing, throw me on the floor and have me shake around for me to stand up and have power. Now, does he do that? I believe he absolutely does. I believe there's times when God sovereignly comes and knocks some guy like Paul off his horse because Paul's going about to kill Christians, and he sovereignly just shows up and like manifests himself to this guy. And then Paul has a great and powerful ministry. Well, if all of us had to wait for something like what happened to Paul to happen to us before we could go out and do the works of Christ, then we're in a lot of trouble, because it hasn't happened for me yet. Hasn't. God's not knocked me down, thrown me. I mean, when they do this thing, what is it called? Impartation. And Randy comes around and he lays hands on people and says, I'm going to give you what I have. And he lays hands on them and they fall down on the ground. They start shaking around. And I believe it's God. I really do. I believe a lot of times it's God. But every time Randy's laid hands on me, I'm the only guy standing in the room. And I'm looking around at all these people flopping around on the floor. And I'm thinking, God, what's wrong with me? I want you to do that to me. And I have faith and expectancy because I want God to do that to me. But you know what? He never did it to Peter. He never did it to John. Wonder if they simply were with him and they simply believed because of what he said. He didn't have to knock them. You don't read about Peter, you know, going out and the Holy Spirit coming and knocking Peter down, waylaying Peter and showing him a big open vision of heaven. Didn't happen to Peter. Wonder if I simply believe that that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in me, and if I lay my hands on the sick, they got to be healed, because that's what Jesus paid for. That's what he paid for. Wonder if I just simply believe that. Then I don't have to wait to feel something. I don't have to wait for it. And right now, I'm really excited that God's never knocked me down. I'm really excited because it's not about a feeling. It's about me believing. And if I got to wait for it to feel something before I can see God do something, then I'm in a lot of trouble because I don't feel a whole lot of stuff. Right? How many of you have felt something powerful in your life where you've been laying on the ground shaking and God's spoken things to you, great and powerful things? You know what? It doesn't have to happen. So let me skip to this. God did some amazing things, and God is doing some amazing things around the world. He is healing the sick. Like I told you earlier, 100% of people being healed in that one meeting. Guys, I think we got to go for this. We have got to go for it. You know, people that don't even believe are getting healed and coming to Christ just like that, because God just touched their body. Guy walked into the car wash. He saw a lady with a brace on her neck. And God spoke to him and said she didn't have a car accident. Most people think she had a car accident. She's got a degenerate bone condition that's her bones are eaten away. So he goes over and sits down next to her and says, hi, what happened to your neck? And she said, most people think I'm in a car accident, but I have a degenerate bone condition. He said, you know what? When I walked in here, God told me that about you. And he said, you know why he told me that? Because he wants to fix it. And he said, can I pray for you? And she goes, well, can we do it right here? And he said, yeah. So he laid hands on her, prayed for her. Her neck's completely healed. And he says, do you want to know Jesus? She didn't even know Jesus. She goes, yeah, I guess I should go to church. He said, I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about knowing Jesus. Do you want to know Jesus? He just fixed your neck. She says, yeah, I absolutely do. She said, can I do it here? He said, yeah, you can do it here. Without any trying to go through four spiritual laws or tell her she's a big sinner and she needs to repent and all this stuff. Well, there were stories coming out where the Holy Spirit came on people and they were speaking in tongues before they even knew what salvation was over in Russia. They thought the one guy was a KGB plant into the church to try to bring the church down. He had been speaking in tongues for 5 minutes. They interviewed him. They said, how long have you been speaking in tongues? He said, about 5 minutes. They said, well, why? How long have you been a Christian? He said, what's a Christian? He didn't even know what a Christian was. They said, well, when did you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, who's Jesus? He didn't even know. He just walked into a group where people were worshiping God, and God fell on him sovereignly. He started speaking in tongues. Okay, so we're almost out of time. Sorry. We're almost out of time. I knew if you gave me the... I couldn't do it all. Anyway, so God's just healing people, and the Bible says that what Jesus came to do was to undo the works of the devil. We have got to get it out of our head that God makes people sick to teach him a lesson. He is not like that. I don't do that to my kids. And I'm not as good a father as he is. Oh my goodness, your name just Rich. I was wanting to say Ralph. What is it? I knew it was R. Rich. You got a little baby there, right? RJ. You want to give him the flu? I mean, you teach him to be strong, right? You give him the flu. You don't want to do that, do you? And Rich isn't as good as God is. But yeah, we think God's doing this sovereignly to teach us. The Bible says that God uses the testing of our faith and to prove our faith. And it says in 1 Peter that when we go through these trials and various tests, that our faith is refined as gold. And so he uses those things, but he's not the author of those things. He's not bringing negative things into your life so that you'll turn to him. Most of those negative things that come into our life are the result of the devil because of our stupid choices and what we believe. But God's good. We got to get that in our head. God's good, and he wants to heal people. The Bible says that when Jesus walked the earth, he healed every single one that was sick. One time, there was a story in the Bible where a guy wasn't healed. The disciples had gone out and they'd healed all these people. And they came back. And then a guy brings to the disciples his boy that's got a demon. And the disciples couldn't cast him out. Jesus is up somewhere else. And so then Jesus comes back and they said this to him. They asked him a good question. Why didn't he get healed? We did the stuff. We laid our hands just like he told us. Why didn't he get healed? And this is what God said. This is what Jesus said. Look at it. It's interesting. God said, Jesus said, in my sovereign purposes, it is not yet my time to heal that boy because I'm doing something greater in his life and in the life of his father. If they'll just push through and persevere, I'm going to show them great and mighty things. It's not my time for him to be healed. Jesus didn't say that. But how many times do we say that? How many times do we say that? We come up with all sorts of excuses why somebody wasn't healed. And Jesus said this, oh, you unbelieving and perverted people. Now, what perverted means, it says, I looked it up the other day. It's a really good definition. Get it quick. It's a good definition. Because he says perverted. And we always think that's like... We always think that's like has to do with sex and stuff like that, that we call these people perverts. And that's not even what it means. It says willfully determined or disposed to go counter to what is expected or desired. Perverted. Willfully determined to go counter to what's desired. So he's saying you didn't believe. You actually believed that he wasn't going to get better. You're willfully determined in your mind to go against what's expected to happen in this situation. You're willfully determined. Crazy. Jesus said he didn't get healed because you didn't believe. Simple as that. And if that's the only time somebody didn't get healed in the Bible, and Jesus answered the question, why, then maybe we should go with his answer instead of all these other answers. Well, maybe it's not God's timing. Well, maybe God gave that little boy cancer because God's trying to do something in that family. He's trying to bring that family to Christ. Maybe God wants to work all things together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purposes to show them his power, but he's not the one that gave it to them. Bible says it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if there's stealing, killing, and destroying going on in your life, if somebody's stealing stuff from you, it's not God. It's not God. We got to change the way we think. So anyway, it was prophesied by a number of people that were coming into the third great awakening. And if you don't know what the awakenings were, it's times when whole countries have come to Christ. Whole countries. There were two of them. One back in the 1700s, and the second one was with was the Wesleys. Or that was the first one, was with the Wesleys, and the second one happened in Wales, I believe. And they said, we're entering into the third great awakening. The Bible says that at the end of the days, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the water covers the seas. I talked about this a little earlier. Every time it says that God displays his glory, it's followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. Wonder if we started believing his words true. Wonder if we started believing this good news. It's actually good. He says he's given you authority. That's good news over all the power of the enemy. That's good news. Wonder if we've been preaching that we have good news and we've been denying the power because we've never believed it was good. We never knew how good it was. We thought it was just a ticket to get to heaven. I mean, how cool would it be if you go to work and somebody walks in with a big migraine and you say, hey, I can fix that. I know this God. And you lay hands on him and it's gone. How hard would it be to share the gospel, the good news with somebody that you just laid hands on and their migraine left? Would that be scary, Jay? It wouldn't be scary at all. That'd be fun. You know, and we make the Christian life into the disciplines. You got to pray. You got to read your Bible. It's not about disciplines. It's about passion. It's about having fun. I read my Bible to get to know him more because when I read the Bible and I see what he's like, I see what I'm supposed to be like. I see what he's doing. I see what I'm supposed to be doing. Jesus said, I only do the things that I see the Father doing. I only say the things that I hear the Father saying. So, and if he said for us to follow him, then what are we supposed to be doing and what are we supposed to be saying? Only the things that we see the Father doing, only the things that we hear the Father saying. And most of us say, I can't hear. In John, it says that my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger they won't follow. You know how strange the voice of the enemy is starting to sound to me? It sounds strange. He comes and he says, hey, God's not going to answer that prayer because that's selfish. Hey, that sounds strange. Doesn't sound like something God would say. Hey, go pray for that person. You probably shouldn't go pray for that person because you're going to make a mockery of the name of Jesus when they're not healed. Hey, that sounds a little strange. That doesn't sound like Jesus. But yeah, we wonder, oh my goodness, is this God? Is this not God? Not strange. God's voice. So anyway, the third great awakening, I believe that God's going to start pouring his spirit out in Acts, where it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And it's going to come in power. God's wanting to pour his power out on his church. We've got to believe. I don't want us to be the only church in town that's missed it because we're just sitting back saying, if God's going to knock us off our horse, he's got to do it like Paul because he's not done it yet. What if we were the church that simply started believing in Hanover that he wanted to do this stuff? You know, John Jenkins has come and given us a word about how this place is going to be packed out, and he's come for years, and we've been sitting back waiting to see it happen. Sitting back, waiting to see it happen. How packed out would this place be if they knew that if there's people that come to this place and their hands are like magic hands? I don't know what's going on, but I've heard my friend say that he was really sick. He was terminally ill, and God gave him a brand new heart. And I need that. I need that kind of power because the doctor's given me like no time to live. A testimony of a girl. Happened this week down in Brazil. Randy just got back from Brazil this week. She was hit by a motorcycle. run over by a motorcycle. She had a big hole in her head. She was dead. They called the paramedics, the ambulance. She'd been dead for 30 minutes. They called one of the people in the church and said, come out. So they came out and said, we're going to pray. And the paramedic stopped her and said, hey, there's no use praying. She's dead. She's been dead for 30 minutes. There's no use praying. She said, we're going to pray. She laid her hands on the girl's chest and she said, I command you to breathe and to live in the name of Jesus Christ. God breathed new life into her. And the girl goes, ah. Now, when she came back to life, she had a broken hand. She had double vision. Everything she saw was double. She had a hole in her head. And she had something else. She was in a wheelchair. They brought her to the church in a wheelchair because she couldn't walk. The girl got up and walked, and while they prayed for her, they looked at her head, and the hole was gone. The hole just closed as they prayed for her. Her double vision stopped. They're trying to give the testimony, and the little girl is standing there. She's about 11 years old. Is so excited, she keeps interrupting him to tell him something else that God did for her. God wants to heal people. God wants to come in and show his power to people. He wants us to stop saying we have a form of godliness and stopping the power from coming because we won't believe. Guys, we got to believe, and it's so simple. That's what's got me so excited. Dave, you don't have to flop on the floor, you know? God doesn't have to knock you out in the car as you're driving to work to get you to do this stuff. Now, does God do that? I think he does. Yeah, he does. And if he wants to do it to me, I'm a candidate. But I'm really excited right now he doesn't. Because guess what? I can go into a place now and say, hey, all you got to do is believe. And I believe that all they're seeing is their faith rising. And that's why God's coming and healing people. And he's doing it in like large numbers. And it's awesome. People with blind eyes open, deaf ears open. They've got the doctors going in and checking the people first. And then checking the people after prayer. And saying, this is unbelievable. But I wonder if we've never asked in faith. I wonder if we've never believed that he'd really do it. We got to get some faith. We're running a little after time. And so let me just close it up. You have announcements or anything? Okay. You're not taking the offering. So we'll put the offering plates out here. But let me encourage you guys. God's good. When they call it good news, it really is good news. We've made it into something a lot not good news. Go home. You got to pray, Jolene, 2 hours a day. You got to read your Bible 2 hours a day. It's not like that. It's not like that. You get to read your Bible. You get to talk to him. And he gets to talk back to you if you listen. The coolest thing, I walked up to a guy. They were doing prayer last night. And God just highlighted his knee. Said, I'm going to give him a new knee. The guy turned around. I said, hey, what do you need? He said, I need a new right knee. I have no ACL. I said, you know what? That's what God told me when I walked up here, your right knee. Man, you should have seen the faith come on him. What would have happened if I would have just said it first? His faith would have probably gotten a lot bigger. But my faith got bigger when he said it was his right knee. He's like, man, it's feeling really good. Guy went to the mall the other day. Kid had the word suicide tattooed on his forehead. The guy's looking. It was God saying, this guy's going to commit suicide. It's a guy that goes out and builds houses for a living. He went up and prayed with the guy. The guy's in tears, saying, you don't even know what this meant to me right now. Because the guy never mentioned, hey, you're about to take your life. He just went and shared the love of Jesus with them. Guys, God's wanting to meet people. He's wanting to change people and transform people. And he wants to do it through you. He's just waiting for somebody to believe. And so I want to ask you, if you want to grow in faith, I want to grow in faith, I want to believe, I want to ask you to just stand as we pray to dismiss today. If you want to start seeing God do some amazing things in your life, you want to start believing the good news, I want to invite you to stand. And you know, I'm asking you to stand in faith. I'm not saying that I have anything great I can give to you because I have Jesus, but I can't just walk up and give you faith. You've got to believe for yourself. You've got to believe it for yourself. And so, God, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the testimony of what you're doing. God, we thank you that your word says that anything we ask for, if we know it's your will, God, you'll give it to us. And so, God, we want to see your goodness come. We want to see your kindness come. God, your word says you anointed your son to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to open prison doors and set the captives free. God, some of us are captive here this morning. God, I just say, God, would you increase our faith to see the freedom that you paid for, God? Would you increase our faith to believe the finished work of Jesus Christ that sets us free, and not just free, but really free? God, would you increase our faith to believe you at your word this morning? And would we stop having all these yeah buts and all these doctrines and all these theologies that stop and deny the power of God from coming? God, we say, may you come in this church in power. God, may people walk through the doors. May people come into contact with us and as a body of people through the week. God, may they be transformed and changed. May they be healed. May broken lives be restored, God. May marriages be restored, Father God Jesus. May relationships that are broken between fathers and children and mothers and children, God, may they be restored because of the goodness and the kindness and love of God. God, would you come? Would you do it in us? God, we say we believe that you want to. God, I believe that you've wanted to get me to this place for a long time, God. You're so excited, God, Jesus, that I'm here right now, God, and you're just so excited, God, because you want to touch your people. God, you want to pour your spirit out on all flesh, Father God. All flesh, God, all people in Hanover, God, you want to pour your spirit out. And God, Your desire is not contingent upon the election. It's not contingent upon the economy. God, you desire to just pour your spirit out, and you don't care what man's agenda is. God, help our agenda come in alignment with your agenda. God, let us have the mind of Christ, Father God Jesus. Help us to see that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within our mortal bodies. Father God, in the life that we live, we no longer live unto ourselves, but we live unto God. And God, you desire to touch people. You desire to change people. You desire to heal people. If you need healing right now, I just want you to raise your hand. If you need healing in your body, raise your hand. And if you see somebody with their hand raised, I want you to go lay your hands on them. I want you to look around. If you see somebody with their hands raised, go lay your hands on them. Come on, open your eyes. Come on. The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. The Bible also says that it's by the word of that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And so I'm saying today that God is going to heal some people today. You're going to walk out of here completely free, and you're going to be completely healed because God loves you in this place today, and because he's paid the price, he's paid the price for you to be completely healed. You don't have to carry pain. You don't have to carry sickness and disease in your body. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he carried it all away when he went to the cross. He carried all the sickness and all the pain away. You don't have to carry it anymore. Only if you want to. Only if you want to. Change the way you think. Give it to him. He wants it today. God, I just pray that you just release your healing power in this place today. God, Jesus, as faith rises in this place, God, we just declare that people are going to be healed. God, you're going to put strength in backs right now in Jesus' name. God, you're straightening out backs. God, you're restoring cartilage right now in bodies, Father God, Jesus. Cartilage is being restored in the spine right now in Jesus' name. Cartilage is being restored in knees right now in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you, Father God. We thank you, God, for restoring hearing, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. God, for reconnecting nerves, Father God, Jesus, that have been severed. Father God, you're reconnecting it right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Father God, Jesus, for your healing power. God, we thank you for your healing power that has always been present with us. But God, we want to see it right now in Jesus' name. We don't want to no longer deny your power through unbelief. God, we ask you to forgive us, God. Forgive us, God, and God, would you come? Would you come right now in Jesus' name? God, open blinded eyes. God, how many times have I prayed for Linda, Father God, Jesus, without faith, hoping that I'd see a miracle, God. Jesus, God, I believe right now, God, that you want to heal Linda's eyes. God, I believe you want to do it, God. You want to do it. God, you're not up there with a million reasons why she shouldn't be healed. God, you have a million reasons why she should be healed. God, you have a million reasons why we should be healed, because you gave your son. You paid the price for our healing. By your stripes, we've been healed. Come on, press in a little bit more. Listen, if you've got pain in your body, or if you've got something that you came in here with that's pain and you know it, I want you to try to do something that you couldn't do before. Move it in such a way or something. Check it out. Sometimes until we activate our faith. You know, Jesus told the blind man, I want you to go and wash. After the blind man went and washed, then he could see. Jesus didn't just do it, and then he saw. So if you have something like in your body that there's pain and it hurts to move a certain way, I want you to move it so that, check out, see if it's still there. And listen, if you're not seeing something, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't let your mind start spinning and start saying, what's wrong? What's going on? Why isn't this working? It's got to work because he said it. Period. You got to settle that thing. You got to settle it. It's got to work. And we just got to keep pressing in. When we don't see the answer right away, it's not an opportunity to go and question God and say that he's not doing stuff. It's an opportunity for us to press in and let our faith grow. The Bible says that we grow up into him in all things. Let our faith arise and let God's enemies be scattered. Pain go in the name of Jesus. Pain go in the name of Jesus. There's somebody in here that's been suffering with like a pressure headache, and the pressure comes like right up here on the top of the skull. That's gone right now in Jesus' name. If that's you, it's gone. Just accept it. It's like right here is pressure headaches where it just feels like your head wants to kind of explode. If that's you, it's gone right now in Jesus' name. It's harder to give words of knowledge when you know people. Because you know things that people are struggling with, so it's different. But when you're in a group of strangers, it's easier to give words of knowledge. But you know what? He wants to heal. You got metal? You have metal in your body? Do you have metal when they did hips? Screws. Does it hurt ever? Yeah? You want it? You want that pain? Just agree with me. If you're not praying for somebody, just stretch your hands towards Jolene right now in Jesus' name. God, you have healed so many people and taken so much metal out of their bodies. God, some people, they even still had the metal in their bodies. God, I just command the pain to go right now in Jesus' name. God, I just say it's got to leave because you paid the price. Pain, leave in Jesus' name. Mobility, be restored in the name of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, listen, she says she's at 80%. She's feeling 80% better. She could never reach her shoe, and she bent down. She's got, where's your screws at? In your hip, okay. Okay, so she's at 80%. So you know what that means, Jolene? You can tie your shoe again, but it means you're going to be 100. He's not going to bring you to 80 and leave you there. He's going to do it, the whole thing. And so, God, we just bless what you're doing right now. Just bless what he's doing in Jolene's body. God, bless what you're doing right now in Jolene's body. She came to church. She wasn't even expecting, God, to be able to tie her shoe when she left. But, God, we thank you for what you're doing. And, God, just bless it. And I say 100% right now in the name of Jesus. God, full restoration of mobility right now in the name of Jesus. Full restoration of mobility right now. God, pain completely gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give God a hand.
So, I went to the doctors and I found out I had osteoporosis of the leg. And they just prayed for me. And a little, some of the pain is gone. And I keep praying to God that he will help me get over this.
And so she said she couldn't, you couldn't do what?
I couldn't bend it like this.
Okay, so she couldn't bend it like that or do anything like that. And now she can do it. She still has a little bit of pain, so we're going to just pray again. If everybody would stretch your hands toward Rose. Lord, we just thank you for Rose. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her leg, Lord, and in her body, Lord, her whole body. Lord, we just say over her life, Lord, that she does not have osteoporosis. Is that what you said?
Osteoporosis.
Yeah, okay. Osteoporosis. Well, I was trying to, anyway, difference between osteoporosis and osteoarthritis. Anyway, I just pray, say that she does not have that, Lord. We just say that diagnosis is not hers to claim, and we just say in Jesus' name that all of it has to go, all the pain has to leave, not even one little speck of pain left in her body at all, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Anybody else experience God doing something in their body or feel like God's, you know, sometimes you don't, sometimes people have stuff that you can't check out. You can't like if you got cancer, you can't necessarily feel it in your body, but sometimes you'll feel like heat going through your body. You'll feel like electricity going through your body. You'll feel cold going through your body. And so, if anybody's experiencing any of that kind of sensation, tingling, like your arm does when it goes to sleep, if you're experiencing any of that, I want you to just raise your hand. Anybody's experiencing anything like that? Jerry? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So Jerry went to pray for Ray, and he felt heat going all the way down through your body. Okay, what do you need, Jerry? Did you check it out? Where's the pain? Did it hurt? Really? Awesome. God, we just bless what you're doing in Jerry's body, God, Jesus. We just say, would you just complete the healing? God, he said he felt heat go all through his body. And so, God, I believe that you're not just wanting to heal his knee. God, you're wanting to heal his entire body. God, Jesus, his sleep apnea or whatever that's called, Father God. We just say it's got to go, Father. God, just give him peace at night, God, as he sleeps. God, his breathing would be just sweet as he sleeps, Father God. We thank you for healing Jerry, God. And we thank you for Ray, God. As he's back there laying hands on Ray, God, we just ask that you just heal Ray's body right now in the name of Jesus. God, you created that body from the start, God, and you can recreate it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. There was a man that had a heart disease. His heart was enlarged 4 times. He's taking 40 to 60 nitroglycerin pills a day because of his heart problem. In constant pain with his heart. He went forward, and the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so what gives our body strength is the Lord coming and bringing his joy. Joy. And so people came around him and said, God, bless him with joy. And he started laughing and felt some bubbles coming up from his stomach. He went to his doctor. He said, I need an MRI. I want you to take a picture of my heart again. I want to see it. His heart was brand new, completely restored after being enlarged 4 times. It doesn't go back once it goes down. And so God can do anything. There was a man that had cerebral malaria. His brain was shriveled when they showed the pictures of it, and brains don't regenerate. If they're damaged, that part of the brain dies, it dies. He was being fed, didn't know his name, was being clothed, and they gave him a few days to live. They called all his kids home. The man was there preaching, walking around, jumping, and his full memory was restored. They took another picture of his brain after he was healed, and his brain was restored completely to normal. Doctors don't know how it's happening. But you know what? God does. And so I just believe, don't just keep pressing in. If you came here this morning with something and you're leaving with it, don't say, well, it wasn't God's time for me, or God didn't want to heal me. Let your faith grow. I mean, he's touching Jolene. Jolene, the devil might come and try to put something back in there for you to doubt. And here's what happens. When you get thoughts like that, it's a stranger's voice, okay? It's a strange voice. And so what you do is you just turn it right around. I didn't tell my wife this, but the other day I was at work, and this girl came in, sat down, and said, man, look at that girl. She's beautiful. This thought popped in my head. Look at that girl. She's beautiful. Man, that would be a beautiful wife for you to have. And I thought, what? That's not my thought. I've got a beautiful wife. That's the enemy. And so, God, I just said, God, I thank you that that's not my thought, and that you've changed my mind and the way I think, and you've so purified me and cleansed me that I don't even have thoughts like that anymore. I thank you that you've purified me. So the devil comes and he says, hey, take this. And a lot of times we go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I just thought this. Oh, I can't let my wife find out. What was she thinking? She thinks, oh, I had that thought. And we start condemning ourselves. We start, like, beating ourselves down and just say, that's not even my thought. We don't have to claim it and stick on that and do all kinds of exercises to get back to holy. And so God's going to come, and he's going to test. The enemy's going to come. He's going to test you because he doesn't want you to believe that you're really healed. He doesn't want you to believe it. He's going to come and he's going to test you. And what does 1 Peter say? That the count it all joy when you go through trials and temptations, because when your faith is tested, it'll be refined as pure gold, and it's of much more value to the Lord. It's of much more value to the Lord. And so it says, I consider it all joy that I've been granted to suffer with Christ. It's a privilege, guys. When he comes and the enemy comes to test your faith, because what he's hoping is you're going to take that thing. You might get some pain, and the enemy's like, hey, Jerry, your knee's not really fixed. And you get a little pain. Oh, man, maybe it wasn't fixed. Maybe I was just, oh, man. And what he does is he gives you a little thing, and you take it and run with it and make it your own, make it truth. Instead of saying, no, I know what I experienced. I know what I felt go through my body. I know what Jesus did on the cross. It's mine. I'm healed. This has got to go. Again, just like it did the first time. And so it's exciting. It's exciting. I need to remember to ask Jolene next week and see, and Rose, and continue to press through. So if you didn't get it, it's still yours. Keep pressing and let your faith rise. You know, I was thinking about Linda, all the times we prayed for, and all the people that have come through and prayed for. You know what I'm excited about, Linda? My faith's growing. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen. My faith's growing. And it's so little right now, I don't even have the faith to go over and lay hands on her. But I've got a little bit. You know what? Forget it. Let's do it. Let's pray for her, because the Bible says if you just have a little bit, like a mustard seed, that the mountain's got to move, right? And so it's not going to hurt for us to pray for Linda's sight to be restored. You know, I've had all sorts of things run through my head. Well, maybe Linda doesn't want to see. Well, maybe, you know. Yeah. She just said, yeah, right. All sorts of things. Well, maybe Linda doesn't have any faith. Well, maybe Linda's, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe. The Bible said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. I don't think God made Linda blind. I think he loves her too much to give her something like that. He didn't give her that. You know, there's a guy in the Bible who was born blind. And the disciples said to Jesus, they said, hey, this guy, he was born blind. Who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus said, neither, so that the glory of God might be fulfilled in his life. He said, but you do the work that God has for you. He wasn't saying, what he's saying is like, your question's off base. Who cares? He's blind because of sin in the world. Neither. But so that God might be glorified, you do the work that it is put before you. What's the work he put before him? To heal the blinded eyes, to open the blinded eyes. Jesus is like, your question's irrelevant. So it doesn't matter how Linda got in this state, but one thing we know, it's for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. Doesn't matter who sinned to mess it up. Adam sinned. That's what messed it up. And so just stretch your hands toward Linda. Courtney, I want you to lay your hands on her. And let's pray.
Lord Jesus.
God, you love Linda.
Let faith arise, God.
You love her, God. And God, we just command these eyes to be opened right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for your word that says that these signs follow those that believe. God, I thank you that faith is rising in me for Linda's eyes to be opened, God. God, I just say, God, my faith is so small. God, I ask you to help my unbelief. God, I believe that it's going to happen, God, and let it be sooner than later. God, don't let her continue to suffer. God, as we're searching to have faith to believe your word that says that, God, lay your hands on the sick, God, and they'll be healed. Open blinded eyes, Father God, Jesus. God, don't let her continue to walk in darkness, God, as we continue to search for faith. God, I just say, let faith arise right now in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be done. It's going to happen right now in the name of Jesus, because you love her. You paid the price for her to be able to see when you died on the cross. Eyes be opened. I just command the lenses to be restored right now in the name of Jesus. God, the retinas to be recreated right now in the name of Jesus. The optic nerves, God, I ask you to reconnect everything that's been disconnected. God, reconnect it. God, rewire the things that got crossed. God, as they were tried to fix her eyes through surgery, God, we thank you for what the doctors tried to do. But God, we just say that you know, God, you see perfectly. God, you know perfectly what needs to happen. And so, God, we just say, God, we don't even blame the doctors, God, Jesus, anymore. God, we release them, God, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and we just release forgiveness on them. God, you've so forgiven us. God, how could we not forgive them? God, we just release forgiveness on these doctors, God, Jesus, in their heart to try to help. God, Jesus, we just appreciate their heart, and we just say, God, it doesn't matter right now, God, Jesus, because the work right now is for these eyes to see. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Linda, is anything going on? No? This is your year. This is Linda's year to see. And we've only got a few months left. This is her year. Faith, I want you guys to press in. Press in for Linda. She's walked in darkness enough. Not spiritual darkness, but I believe that there's been a spiritual darkness with this physical darkness over the years, because it can send your mind spinning. God, why me? And Linda, I just want you to know, he loves you. He is crazy about you, and he's up there rooting for you to see. He's already made the way, but we've got to start believing. Don't sit back. Jen, don't sit back and say, I'll see it when I believe it. You see it now. Because that's what faith is. Faith is seeing it before it happens. Like when I was looking for that house, I knew he was going to get a house, but I didn't know how and I didn't know when. But I knew the house was coming, and that's what's happening with Linda's eyes. The eyes are going to see. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I know it's going to be through faith. Because he's already finished the work. It's already done. He's just waiting on us to believe it. Amanda? Is Amanda? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Oh, it's Amanda, right? Amanda, she's got a... Awesome, Amanda. Amanda, you're so precious to God. Listen, there was a girl that, down there. Randy always thought once the word of knowledge was released, then faith in that person arose for healing to take place. This last trip, somebody gave a word of knowledge that the left ear was going to be opened. And there's a girl sitting in the service. She doesn't, they can't even translate for her because she doesn't know sign language. She doesn't know Portuguese, what they speak in Brazil. And she starts just beating on her ear. Somebody just said, your left ear is going to be open. She started beating on her left ear. And all of a sudden, she starts tapping her mom, and she's like this, meaning her ear just got opened. As they're going down the line, somebody else says, somebody has a right ear that can't hear. And as soon as they said that, this girl doesn't even know what they're saying. She starts hitting her right ear. And she taps her mom on the shoulder, and she goes like this. It's open. She doesn't even know how to talk. She doesn't know any language at all. And so the dad comes. They go and interview the dad. And he's like, yeah, she was just sitting there. She started tapping her ears, and she was born deaf, and now she can hear. And then he goes up on stage to tell everybody, and it hits him what Jesus just did for his daughter. He breaks down sobbing on the stage because he was just shocked. He was shocked that it happened to her, and it can happen to you, Amanda. God can open that ear just like that, and he wants to. He wants to because he loves you. He loves you so much. He's crazy about you. Did you know that he looks at you like you're a princess? Did you know that? And he's so proud of you. He shows you off. He says, look at Amanda. Look how pretty she is. Look at how beautiful she is. I just love her so much. And so, God, just stretch your hands towards Amanda right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for the testimony. And when we give testimony, it's an invitation for God to repeat what he already did. And so we just say, God, would you do what you did to that girl down there and open this ear right now in the name of Jesus. God, we just command the nerves to be connected, God, that were never connected, and God, for her ear to just be opened in Jesus' name. For her ear to be opened in Jesus' name. Amanda, is anything happening? No, you don't feel anything different or hear anything different? Okay. You don't feel anything funny? No? Okay, well, let's pray again. God, I just thank you for Amanda. And God, I thank you for her faith in you, to believe in you as her Savior. But God, I just thank you that over these next few days, over these next few weeks, God, you're going to reveal yourself to her as healer. God, when you died both to forgive her sins, to save her soul, but also to heal her body. And so, God, we just command this ear to open and to hear right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Still feel the same? What do you mean? Is something good, something different feel? You don't know? That's okay. Some people don't feel anything when God heals them, Amanda, so it's okay. You don't hear this? You hear that? You don't hear it? Okay. Well, God, we just bless what you're doing. Because, listen, you can't pray and nothing happen. You can't pray and nothing happen. We got to start believing that. So we're not just like, oh, it's broken. We tried, and something's broken. It's not broken. So something's happening in Amanda's life right now and in her body right now. So we just bless, God, what you're doing. We thank you that you've heard our prayer. You've heard our cry. And we thank you that you're going to heal Amanda in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Let's press in for Amanda, for Linda, over these next few months. Next few days and weeks. I don't think it has. You know, the cool thing, I was talking to somebody the other day, and the cool thing about the gospel is you don't have to wait. It's as soon as you choose to believe. You don't have to wait for restoration in a long process. It's as soon as you choose to believe. So like when your house is destroyed and you want to restore your house, you've got a long process of nailing the thing back together and fixing it all up. But that's not the way it is with us. It's not the way it is with Amanda's ear. We don't have to wait for a long time and do a lot of work. It's not even about work at all, us doing any work. It's about us simply believing and releasing the kingdom in Amanda's life and in Linda's life. And so as soon as we choose to believe, I believe that we can see these things happen. And God wants to do these things in our midst as a testimony of his goodness and the glory of God because he wants people to know him. He wants to show off. He really does, and it's okay for him to. You know, we tell our kids, stop showing off. God wants to show off because when he does, people get blessed, people get loved, people get healed, people get set free.